We are back. It's the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast making a return to you for the first time in 2024. He's Eli Fishman. I'm Stephen Cusimano. And, man, we made it. We made it through the full offseason, Eli. Tough ending to last season after the two-game playoff sweep from the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. But all of that has dissipated, and the excitement is back in the air. We had full transparency. We're recording this during opening weekend and coming off a big opening day victory, 5-4 win for the Somerset Patriots. Baseball vibes are back up. We've got a really exciting team on hand and just couldn't be more excited to be here at the ballpark with baseball back.
Baseball vibes are back. Doesn't get much better. And, I mean, as you talked about, we've got a loaded roster, a lot of returners from that team that fell just short last year but still led Double-A in runs and wins. And there's been so much hype throughout the Yankees organization. I mean, you get Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo, Trent Grisham, Marcus Stroman at the big league level. A lot of prospect moves happening over the course of the offseason as well. A lot of former Patriots making up to the big leagues, the Rule 5 draft, a lot of new prospect additions as well, and a few of those trades that sent different Yankees players to all across the league. I mean, a ton of different moves that happened this offseason. Former Yankees prospects coming to and from the system, and there's a lot to get to, and it's going to be an exciting season with a lot of fresh faces, but also a lot of familiar ones.
Well, I mentioned before, this is our first time on the airwaves in 2024, so I want to address a few things that we haven't really covered outside of just on Somerset Patriots social media, which, by the way, definitely follow along at SOM Patriots on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, now X, also Somerset Patriots on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. Great content all throughout the year. And during the offseason, we had quite a few of our familiar faces in Somerset move on to new teams. I want to start there just as something that if you're a casual Somerset Patriots fan, may have seen some exciting prospects here the last several years. Just a little update on where some of these guys are. Well, first of all, you mentioned the Rule 5 draft. And the Yankees had, I believe it was more players picked in the Rule 5 draft than any other big league organization. And it started with the major league phase. I want to touch on a couple names. Matter of fact, we'll talk about three names that were picked in that major league phase of the Rule 5 draft. Starting with the top two picks, Mitch Spence, who played for the Patriots in 2022 and was called up to Scranton by the end of the year and was in Scranton all of last year. He was picked first overall in the MLB Rule 5 draft after he went unprotected by the Yankees. Was picked by the Oakland A's, and he has since made his big league debut during opening weekend of the major league season. And right behind him, the second overall pick in the Rule 5 draft, also was a former Somerset Patriot who played here for the last two seasons in a row. That was Matt Sauer, who famously struck out 17 batters here at TD Bank Ballpark. He was picked second overall by the Kansas City Royals. So those two stick out. And then Carson Coleman also was picked in that major league phase of the Rule 5 draft. He obviously missed all of last year with an injury, and otherwise may have even been protected or made his debut for the Yankees had it not have been for that. But he remained on the 60-day IL as he was picked late in the MLB phase of the Rule 5 draft by the Texas Rangers. But he is on their major league roster right now, of course, on the 60-day IL. But three guys that start in Somerset, they're now in different big league organizations at the big league level.
And, I mean, Drew Thorpe as well going over in the Juan Soto trade to the Padres, then to the White Sox. I mean, he's going to make a big league impact with the White Sox. A whole lot of former friends. Jason Rosario signed with the A's. We got also the Rule 5 draft, Mickey Gasper going to Boston. Eric Wagman going to the Angels. So a lot of moves. And, I mean, you said it. The Yankees had more players plucked from their system than any other team. Seven different guys went to new organizations. And, I mean, they had to make some tough decisions about who they protected. And the fact that they had 1-2 overall, both guys in the big leagues. Oliver Dunn, another guy that's in the big leagues as well. I mean, this organization is stacked. We see it on display with the opening day roster from Double-A, Triple-A, big leagues. There is so much depth, and to see guys being plucked like that is obviously you don't want the guys to leave, but to see them have success with other organizations and the praise that they get is obviously awesome.
And that is something that entering 2024 for me it's kind of an overarching theme potentially of. We've always talked about these last 2 years, Eli, how much depth this organization has top to bottom. Well, this year in particular, there was just such an exodus of former players that made up that depth that it's really going to be tested this year, the player development, the depth of different guys that we're going to see here in Somerset this season. A couple more I'll mention that you didn't were Andres Chaparro, who was the Patriots home run king a couple seasons ago, signed a minor league deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he's in AAA right now. And then a good friend of his, Jesus Bastidas, signed a minor league deal with the Houston Astros. I think we got everyone there. You talked about the minor league Rule 5 guys. There's actually one we're missing. You mentioned Mickey Gasper. You mentioned Eric Wagaman. But also, Richard Fitz was traded. That was actually one of the first trades the Yankees made in the offseason. Traded him to the old rival Boston Red Sox. So Fitz currently starring in AAA Worcester after he was the Eastern League Pitcher of the Year for Somerset. And it just goes to show, putting a capper on this brief conversation, Eli, the player development, like the way that the Yankees were able to unload these kind of prospects. A couple more that are coming to mind. Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito traded for Juan Soto in that Drew Thorpe deal. They unloaded so much talent, and the fact that this farm system is still as good as it is and the major league team is as good as it is speaks volumes about the player development.
100%. It is not easy to keep up a system like the Yankees have, even if after all the changes in the coaches and obviously the playing players over the past couple of years since about that 2021 season when Somerset was in their first year as a Yankees affiliate. Consistently, Somerset and the Yankees organization as a whole has had some of the best numbers in all the minors.
All right, putting a close on that, we just kind of caught up on all the guys that were in Somerset that no longer are. But let's talk about the guys that now currently are in Somerset for the 2024 season. I think when I spoke to you initially about this break camp roster, Eli, I almost compared it to a Yankees minor league all-star roster because that's kind of what it feels like. You've got 10 of the Yankees' top 30 prospects. You've got 18 returning players out of 27 that are active right now. A few inactive that we'll mention that were not on the break camp roster but were on the opening day roster include Chase Hampton, Jesus Lorenzo and Tyler Hardman, three that we expect to return at some point this year. But not talking about them right now. The rest of this roster, top to bottom, so interesting. A lot of interesting stories on the starting pitching side of things. I think one of the great strengths of this team is going to be the bullpen. And then up and down the lineup and the position players, there's just a really good mix of some youth and some guys we haven't seen before, but a lot of guys that have stayed here in Somerset, the Max Burtz, the TJ Rumfields, Anthony Siegler, who's back for a second year, Ben Rice, Augustine Ramirez, on down the list. Haven't even mentioned Spencer Jones. We've got a lot to touch on. Why don't we just break this down a little bit? Start with the pitchers. Starting rotation. We saw Zach Messenger pitch on opening day, Yankees top 30 prospect. He looked really good. Came only an out shy of qualifying for the win. So the rotation to start the year, you've got Brock Selvich, who's going to make his AA debut. He's the Yankees number 11 prospect and starred in the spring breakout game. You got Tristan Vreeling, who is yet to make his Yankees organizational debut after he missed all of last year with an injury. We'll dig into them. Blaine Abeyta's back. And Bailey Deez makes a transition to the starting rotation. So it's a very, I would use the word intriguing to talk about this rotation.
Definitely. And as you said, a very interesting mix of players. Bailey Deez, a guy that we're going to see as we speak tonight, making his first professional start. And, I mean, you look up and down this roster, you could make an argument for more than half of this roster to have started the year in AAA 100%. I mean, particularly, I mean, you look at five, six guys on the roster right now that have AAA experience. I mean, Ben Rice obviously mashed throughout the course of the year. TJ Rumfield had a strong first half of the season, played in 72 games before he got hurt. Spencer Jones, the starting center fielder, there were people on Yankees Twitter, or X I should say, calling for that man to start in center field at the big league level this season, and that were not too happy when he got optioned down to minor league camp. So I think that says a lot about the roster, and we haven't even talked about this bullpen, because this is a bullpen that has to be one of the best in minor league baseball. You get Ryan Anderson back. You get some of the guys that star like Danny Watson last season. Jack Neely, we already saw. Alex Mauricio was a big piece, I should say, out of the bullpen last year as well. We'll see Kevin Stevens, who's only pitched in like 10 professional innings before making his way up to Double-A, and he's a guy we haven't seen yet out of the bullpen, but I'm excited to see because he's been up to 100 miles an hour after missing virtually the first 2 years of his career with injury. So this is an interesting roster, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, one guy that I'll put a capper on the bullpen discussion that we saw him pitch on opening day with two innings out of the bullpen, Luis Velazquez, who just was phenomenal last year between Single-A and High-A and made his Double-A debut, earned the win with two scoreless innings and only gave up one base runner. Goes by the Ant because he's such a little guy and embraces that he's only, I mean, he's 5'10", 155
with spikes
pounds.
On. We know those aren't accurate. there's no roster that has an accurate number for a guy like Luis Velasquez.
Irregardless, the Ant, one of the great nicknames that we learned, and I'm sure we'll hear about more throughout the season. But needless to say, this pitching staff, led by new pitching coach Brett DeGagne, is going to be really fun to watch this year. But let's talk about the battery mates, the three catchers on this roster. How do we not start this conversation by talking about the way opening day started? Bottom of the first inning, two pitches into the season, Ben Rice, home run, picks up where he left off in 2023, and then three pitches later, Augustin Ramirez, the other catcher on this roster that was in the lineup, home run. Back-to-back homers to start the season. It was a poetic start for the Patriots. And then J.C. Escara, talk about great nicknames, the Hialeah Cannon from Hialeah, Florida, same hometown as Nestor Cortez Jr. The two of them grew up playing baseball together, and he's got a really interesting story that we'll talk a little bit about throughout the course of the year. But that is a stacked catching core, and you mentioned before making the case for guys and their ability to start the year at AAA. You absolutely could have made the case for any one of those three guys to be in Scranton right now, but you think about what's going on up there. Carlos Narvaez in AAA, Josh Breaux. There's just no room, and these guys are getting reps every day to play out here, and we're certainly enjoying it.
I mean, this catching core is strong, and I mean, particularly looking at Rice and Ramirez, the power they bring, two guys that probably should be in AAA with a lot of organizations, if not the big leagues. You got Ramirez on the 40-man, Rice after the year he had last year winning the Offensive Player of the Year award, the Lawn Award for the Yankees organization, and then Escara coming from independent baseball. We're actually going to see him in the outfield tonight for the first time in affiliated baseball, so I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it in this episode as well throughout the course of the season. But the position changes are running wild so far because Anthony Seigler is also the other natural catcher on the roster. But right now he's playing second base. In the outfield, you got Aaron Polensky. He's going to be playing some infield. J.C. Escara also plays a lot of first base. Ramirez and Rice both play first base. So it's going to be interesting to see how the positional makeup of it shakes out. But on the offensive side, it's almost like you don't even got to worry about defense with how talented this lineup is going to be every day.
Let's move on to the infielders. You got to start, when you're talking about infielders in the Somerset Patriots, it's a conversation that has to start with Max Burt, who is back in Somerset for a fourth consecutive year and actually had the game-winning hit on opening day, Friday, April 5th. So Burt back for more and excited to play some shortstop this year because we talked about it on air during our first broadcast of the season, Eli, but there's probably a negative connotation that comes with spending five straight years in AA, but this is the first time in probably since 2019 that Max Burt is not blocked from his natural position, which is shortstop. We've seen him make some outstanding plays, some of the best I've personally ever seen at third base and at second base, and he's a natural shortstop. We haven't seen a ton of it because last year, blocked by Trey Sweeney. The year before, Anthony Volpe. The year before that, Oswald Peraza. So Max Burt's going to get a chance to play a lot of shortstop this year. Trading places on that left side of the infield with Ben Cowles, who's already picked up his first double-A hit. And then you've got Spencer Henson and TJ Rumfield, your fellow first baseman on this break camp roster. And then finally, as you mentioned, Anthony Seigler. But I'm just, when I look at that group of players, and of course Tyler Hardman on the IL and hope to have him back sometime around the All-Star break, I'm just really excited to see Max Burt get the opportunity he really deserves here because, you know, he should be in AAA for sure based on some things you might look at in his game, but here he's getting an opportunity to play shortstop every day in a place that he's really comfortable in, and I'm just excited to have him back, honestly.
And I mean, we say it every single day, Max Burt is as fun to watch on the baseball field as they come. He brings the electricity, hustles out of the box, steals bags, makes insane plays on defense, plays with a smile on his face, and as you said, you could very much make a case, I mean, it is a case, he should be starting in AAA. He could be in AAA or the big leagues with a lot of different organizations, but he's back in Somerset, fourth season with Somerset, his fifth in AA. He's the only former Trent Thunder player still in the Yankees organization, and a very negative connotation probably usually comes with that. But for Max Burt, he's the guy that always plays with a smile on his face. He takes on that leadership role, and no matter where he is, he wants to win. He wants to ball. When you look at the history of the Somerset Patriots as a Yankees affiliate, all they've done is won, and, I mean, you got a championship. They've been to the playoffs the past couple of seasons, and, as we said, led the league in wins last year. Max Burt is such a big piece of that, and after his RBI double in game one of the season, he met with the media and was specifically asked, what's your mindset coming back for your fourth year with Somerset?
You know, I'm just trying to control what I can control. I'm getting paid to play baseball right now. I'm in a great place. Obviously, this is a place that has been very good to me here over the past couple of years. So, love playing here, love playing for the fans. So, you know, I'm just where my feet are and taking every pitch, for what it is. So,
what's the biggest point of emphasis for you overall this year? Is it just, you know, trying to be a little more consistent with what you do, or what are you trying to improve?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of honing in a routine. You know, I see all those guys at Big League Camp, and you know, they live and die by that routine, and that kind of, and they just play when they go out there. And I've been a guy that's been kind of bouncing back and forth, doing some stuff one day, other stuff's other day. So for me, it's just, you know, sticking to that routine, living by that every day, and you know, letting that carry me for, you know, and just kind of letting Max be Max out there.
Yeah, that's something you take pride in, because obviously it's not ideal to be bouncing around like you said, but you're not a guy who's quit or asked to be released or anything from the Yankees. I mean, you just continue to persevere out there. That's something you take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been, you know, that's kind of been my MO here. My parents kind of instilled that into me, no excuses ever. So, you know, like I said, I'm happy where I'm at. You know, I want to keep going, keep playing, and, you know, I want to play this game until I'm 4 years old. So I just want to keep going. I don't really care where I'm at right now.
That was Max Bird following his game-winning hit on opening day for the Somerset Patriots. And like you said before, Eli, just taking on a leadership role as he has the last few years. I've already seen it just around the ballpark. You could see guys like Ben Cowles, who's new to AA, at his side pretty much all the time. You could see him taking some of these guys under his wing, and that's a very good thing. And just talking about the clubhouse chemistry, it's going to be special this year. You can definitely tell, and we've seen it before with some winning teams that we've had here in Somerset.
Max Burt is the clubhouse.
That's it. He's the clubhouse guy.
That's all you got to say.
Well, let's move on to the outfielders, because this is maybe we saved the best group for last. I don't even know if you could say that, because this is just such a stacked roster.
We didn't even talk about T.J. Rumfield. That's how loaded the roster is.
Let's stop there. Let's talk about T.J. Rumfield for a second, because, again, we mentioned it on air in our first broadcast of the season opening day, but in case you happen to miss that, T.J. was phenomenal last year. 17 homers, which was by far a career high. 86 games played was by far a career high, and that was even missing about a month and a half with a shoulder injury. And when he came back, he was not the same player. He's fully healthy now. He's back for more, and he is a Gold Glove Award winner at first base.
And T.J. Rumfield was such a treat to watch when he was healthy to start the season last year. You mentioned he kind of wasn't necessarily the same player that second half of the season after he came back from his injury. Before he went on the IL, he was hitting .254 with 17 homers over 72 games, and after going on the IL on the 25th of August, he hit .184 to round out the season and did not even hit a home run. So it's been a struggle for him these last few years, the last 2 years, particularly in the Yankees system after he was traded over from the Phillies, because he missed a big chunk of 2022 with Hudson Valley due to a hand injury. He only hit four homers in about 70 games, missing a big chunk of 2022 due to injury. We saw the power come out, and it was huge last season, in addition to the fact that he is a Gold Glove first baseman, one of nine players in minor league baseball honored with a Gold Glove, and obviously only one first baseman in minor league baseball honored with that Gold Glove, and that says a lot about T.J. Rumfield and his future.
Well, without further ado, let's talk about these outfielders, because we haven't even talked about the James P. Dawson Award winner for the Yankees in spring training, Spencer Jones, who went 3-for-3 in his first MLB spring training game this year, hit a 470-foot tank, and that was just the start of it all. A couple more homers in the spring breakout game. He was named the Yankees' most outstanding rookie in spring training, again, the James P. Dawson Award, and he is assigned to Somerset. As you mentioned before, Eli, some fans probably were a little confused by that, but listen, he played 19 AA games last year, some developing to do, of course, and we're really excited to see Spencer take the field with a really talented group of outfielders. Elijah Dunham back for more as well after he starred here in 2022, went through some struggles last year, but trying to refine his game here in Somerset. Aaron Polensky, who's going to play a little bit on the infield as well as the outfield. Grant Richardson, who's done nothing but hit since he's joined the Patriots late last year. And then Jared Wagner, the first member of the Yankees' 2023 draft class to make it to AA, picked up his first AA hit on opening day. So you got Spencer Jones, and you've got four other intriguing, exciting players heading this outfield group.
And Spencer Jones is the youngest player of that bunch by about 2.5 years, and that says a lot about the experience and the depth in the outfield. And Grant Richardson mashed over the last 15 games last year for Somerset after coming up from Hudson Valley in late August and had five homers over those 15 games, hit .354, had a 3-for-4 night in game one of the season last night on opening night. So, I mean, once he's come up, he's had so much success, and that tells you a lot considering the fact that he's not even in the lineup in game two because of the depth of this team. Wagner had a nice night, got his first knock in game one of the season as well at the double-A level, and he's someone that the Yankees player development staff has said they are excited about. I mean, it's the fact that he was just drafted last year. He was at Arkansas playing in the postseason at this time last season in the SEC, and he's at double-A with the Yankees now.
Needless to say, we've got some high hopes and high expectations for this team entering 2024. But let's talk about the manager, Raul Dominguez. We haven't mentioned yet. He's back after bringing the Patriots to their best record in all of AA, 84-53 a season ago. Raul is back for more in 2024 and becomes the first manager to serve back-to-back terms in this Yankees AA era for the Somerset Patriots. He is back for more. Here is his outlook on the team that he talked to us about preseason.
Last year was a really good year. That was my first opportunity to be a manager here in Somerset. I have a really good feeling when I was at home and they call me like, hey, you're going back to Somerset. And I mean, this is my second year here, my second year as a full season manager, and feel like more prepared. I mean, I got that experience last year and I'm excited for this year too. A lot of young players, those players last year with a lot of experience, like Jason Dominguez, Pereira, Wells. I mean, those guys, they finished in the big league. And this is a new year with a lot of new faces in this team, players that playing hot somebody last year. Some pitchers that they're pitching that is on a full lead and never pitching in high A is going to be the first time to see those guys. And I'm excited to have that team. I mean, 2024, new challenge, new goal with those guys.
And Raul Dominguez said when he got that call that he was going back to Somerset, he could not be happier. And I know we're extremely happy to have him back after all of his success on the field. And obviously, such a treat to have in the locker room off the field as well. And he's going to be joined by a pair of fresh faces in the coaching staff to the Patriots. That's Kevin Martire, the new hitting coach, and Brett DeGagne, the new pitching coach, who, by the way, was the pitching coach for that FCL Yankees team last year that everyone was raving about throughout the course of the season. And the pitching staff down there with a lot of names that hopefully we'll see up in Somerset in the next season or two. Kevin Martire coming from Hudson Valley. He was in Tampa for a couple years prior to that as well. It's an exciting staff. And we actually got the chance to catch up with Martire at the media day here in Somerset a couple days ahead of the season. That was on Wednesday. And he kind of talked about the adjustments and differences that he's making with a fresh start at AA.
I'm super excited for the opportunity. You know, some of these guys I've worked with, you know, earlier in their career, so I kind of have a relationship with them as well. It's a lot different. There's a lot more information. There's a lot more education. So I think that's the biggest difference is the education part and making sure guys understand, like, what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, if they don't understand, they should ask, and we will have an answer. So that's pretty much the biggest difference. I mean, there's a lot more information, a lot more tools. You got blasts, you got, you know, hit tracks in every cage now. You know, you got edgers, so Hawkeye. You got a lot of stuff that, you know, that can help you with your development. It's to the individual, right? Like, what makes sense to them, you know, when they come to advanced reports, like, what do they want to know about the pitcher? And it kind of helps them build their approach. Some guys like a lot of information, some guys like a little. So you just have to adapt and make sure everything's individualized for the specific hitter.
Great stuff from Kevin Martire, the Patriots' new hitting coach this year, and really excited to see what he brings to the table this year because, let's be honest, we've been spoiled with Joe Migliaccio here in 2021 as the Yankees' double-A hitting coach, and then Jake Hurst back-to-back years. This team has led double-A in home runs the last two seasons in a row, and I don't think it's a fluke, and I'm really excited to see once again what Kevin Martire brings to the table. One guy we did not mention was Aaron Bossy, who is back for his third straight season in Somerset. Bossy is back for, he's now the longest tenured coach for this AA Somerset club, and they've led all AA teams in stolen bases back-to-back seasons with him overseeing the base running program as well. And he has also coached a minor league Cole Glover as the defensive coach the last two years. The last 2 years in a row with Jesus Bastidas at second base in 2022 and TJ Rumfield at first base in 2023. So we'll see who it is in 2024. Bossy, a former catcher in his playing day, so not only does he oversee the defensive and base running programs, but he works very, very closely with the catchers, and that includes our guy Ben Rice, who we were glowing about earlier in this episode, and we get some final thoughts From Ben Rice, before the start of the season, he discussed kind of what that pregame work is like working as a catcher, for some of the planning and the scouting, and how closely he works with Bossy.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, it's just as important as what you do during the game, right? I mean, you're going to spend more time preparing for the game and preparing for your pitcher's outings than you are actually catching them almost, right? So, like, it's so important. It's hard to put into words, honestly. But that's everything as a catcher. You know, you got to be back there. You got to know that the pitcher, they trust you to throw down the right pitch, and you're going to block everything. You're going to do everything you can to help the team win.
And Rice made some huge strides on the defensive side over the past couple of seasons. He's moved to first base as well, which he talked about in that media day. Getting that experience is going to be huge for his abilities. And, I mean, it all clicked on the offensive side last year for him. He was so much fun to watch when he was on that tear throughout the second half of the season. And when we look at this roster, he pretty much highlights it, in addition to Spencer Jones, as a guy that, I mean, we could see him in the big leagues to end this season. That's how huge of a prospect and how much star potential there is for Ben Rice. And when he was talking with the media on Thursday, he actually talked a little bit about his breakout year last year and just what clicked.
Yeah, I think growth is a good way to put it. I think it was a fun year. I mean, obviously he was able to get some good results, but to be able to finally get up to Double A and get some wins up here with Somerset and have a good time doing it was awesome. It was a really rewarding year. I think it's all mentality. You know, I think it's confidence was a big thing. Just kind of developing that as I went along. You know, coming off the IL for 2 months stint there and rehabbing down in Low A, and then coming up to Double A, it was all just about being confident and just trusting the work that I put in, and just showing up here and really just trusting myself.
That's Ben Rice. Again, the Yankees 2023 Kevin Juan Award winner, Yankees organization all-star per MILB.com and MLB Pipeline's Yankees hitting prospect of the year a season ago, and it took him all but two pitches to remind us why in 2024. As we look to put a capper on this Patriots and Pinstripes podcast, Eli, our first of probably many this season, as you'll be on the call with me for these three Richmond games, which, of course, will be over by the time you're hearing this podcast. But you will be back with us in May, so we'll have a lot of podcasts from May, June, July, August, all those warm summer months, which are off in the distance. Let's kind of just preview what's ahead. So as of this week, you've got the first road trip of the season for the Somerset Patriots. New Hampshire Fisher Cats will host Somerset after the Patriots had their final road trip of the season last year there. They start there. So this week, it's April 9th to the 14th, and then the Patriots will return home this upcoming April 16th to the 21st to host the Hartford Yardgoats, one of the most fun teams and branding in all of minor league baseball. We'll have our first Zorros game on April 20th with post-game fireworks. First Bark in the Park Day is actually the next home game, Tuesday, April 16th. And then Sparky's Version Day is also on Sunday, April 21st. That'll be a fun addition before the Patriots hit the road for Reading. Six games to end April, and then they'll host the New Hampshire Fisher Cats start May. So that's probably about the time you'll hear from us next. But keep it tuned to Somerset Patriots social media channels. Again, we're going to be pumping out some really great content all season long. And Eli, I cannot stress enough, this team is just going to be so fun to watch all season long.
It's going to be fun to watch. So are we in the broadcast booth as well. Make sure you watch on MILB.TV, the Bally Live app, and stay tuned on Fox Sports New Jersey, because the social media content is going to be ringing out. But we'll have all the insight, all the interviews on the pregame show, everything you want on those platforms with the broadcast.
And also new this year, and they were experimenting with it last year, but new this year altogether, all of our games are also available per MLB.TV. So the MLB app, you can actually, if you have an MLB.TV subscription, you can watch our games on there as well. So you've got MLB TV, MILB TV, Bally Live, all different
all
kinds of ways to watch the broadcast. And you've got this guy, Eli Fishman.
And this guy, Steven Cusimano.
That's right. Well, it's been a blast, Eli, catching up over what was the offseason and what we've got to work with here in Somerset. And that's a really fun group of players and coaches here in 2024. So thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been our first episode of the 2024 season of the Patriots and Pinstripes podcast. Look forward to more later in the season when we hope to see you at the ballpark, TD Bank Ballpark, this upcoming homestand, April 16th to the 21st.